Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
It's working. Just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight we've got one of our guest chefs back in the house. Woo-hoo! Miss Anna Weber is back. And I'm going to go ahead and bring on my wonderful co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you doing, Amy, tonight?
Well, I'm great. I want to tell you I'm wearing my archery outfit. I got my bow and arrow, and I'm ready to go for the bullseye.
There we go. There we go. It's too bad we're not doing a live Facebook. That would be fun. Okay.
Oh,
anyway.
We might have to do that. Because with new book, you know, we had that lovely, and I'll let you jump in here, all of you, as we go, but that amazing book review of her book club with her book and having her interview with us. And now she has a brand new book, The Doxa Method, and the cover is a target. And I'm very excited to go work towards that bullseye. And, you know, my nickname is AIM, so I'm ready.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, because I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit. Last year, Anna was so wonderful to just be a part of our cafe book club. She was really literally in each conversation with her passion, spirit, and purpose. And I just really want to thank you for that. It was so fun to have you really just walking along with us and giving us your insights and everything with the book. So if you go back from TC 315 to TC 321 last year, all the episodes are there, and you can hear just a passion, spirit, and purpose. So why do we want to, what's motivated you to want to get into the Doxa Method and just have that be its own book?
Well, great question, Robin. Well, first of all, I didn't even realize that I've been implementing this method without basically the title for many years at the various organizations. I filled various positions, CEO, CFO, VP of sales. And the Doxa Method was basically quite instrumental. It was a success formula that influenced so many organizations in various ways. And basically, many years later, I basically wrote the Doxa Method. Finally, I came, you know, to title it because it's very alive and it's very influential, and it's very profound, and it's very effective.
Okay. And well, for people who haven't listened to the Cafe Book Club with the book, well, can you go ahead and just kind of define it a little bit so people know what we're talking about?
Yeah, the Doxa Method actually has a subtitle, Transport Your Fears into Success. I think this subtitle is extremely strong and very, I would say, it has an impact on us in a very deep fashion. I personally dealt with fears and apprehension and insecurities and lack of confidence for many years. I mean, growing up in Europe in a communist country, needless to say, you didn't really have a voice. And then later on, as a young little girl, we moved to the Middle East with my mom, and not only that we were homeless for a few days, but again, you had the fear of speaking up or asking for anything. You were just basically in your own shell. So moving, you know, fast forward, I have, you know, had quite a few great positions in my life, but how often I would speak up in meetings or say something that I felt that it was necessary, no, actually took me a long way to get there. So this means, the Doxa Method means so much to me because it's basically not only the four steps, which is D for desire, outstanding, Xing out the impossible, and allowing you to be you. Not only that the four steps are so potent in our lives, but also the major benefits that the Doxa Method is providing us is really huge. And I would like to talk more about that.
Okay. Let's talk about it. So one thing I think I really loved in chapter one that you talked about is, you know, life is a series of choices. And I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit about that, because that goes right into the Doxa method.
Right, exactly. So basically, the Doxa method is, number one, it's basically helping you to have, empowering you to have a dialogue with your mind. And I am such a strong believer that if the mind works in a positive fashion, everything else follows. So basically, with the Doxa method, you ask your mind questions. You become very open and easy to ask your mind questions. So people ask me, what are the responses to these questions? Basically, the choices that we make. However, with the Doxa method in our lives, you know, practicing the Doxa method, we also learn how to filter the choice, how to understand the question, why am I even asking this question? So we become not only more confident, but we become more liberal, we become more independent. We really start to shine, whether it's in the corporate world or at home or at school. We start to shine because we really becoming more connected with ourselves. And I think, as Carl Jung quoted, there is nothing more difficult than getting to know oneself. And I think this is so in the method. So basically, this is the first benefit that people get from practicing and living the Doxa method. The second, I like what Amy said, it's kind of a arrow here. The second one is basically living and cultivating and basically turning and spinning the three time zones. People always say, be in the now. Yes, of course, you are in the now. We are right now in the now. But 5 minutes from now, even a minute from now, this now becomes the now, but the now that was before becomes our past. And we are basically circulating into the future. So the Doxa method, that's why the cover has the three circles, and basically the red one is the past. And I think one of the most difficult moments in our lives and actions in our lives is to let go of the past and really continue into the present with less baggage, especially emotional baggage. So that's why it's red. It's like kind of alarming. And then you have the second circle that you are in the now. You take action. You can only take action in the now. The future time becomes the now when you are in the moment. And then, of course, the third one, I think it's very essential and very, very meaningful, is that it's taking us to the future. It's basically that we have hope, we have something to look forward to, we have zest in our lives, and we are really not stuck only in the now, but we also have something that's coming our way that we are happy for. So it's basically, this is the second benefit that the Doxa method is providing. And the third one is, while you are exercising with the mind and circulating the time, you become less fearful and you reaching much more success. But not just success, you're reaching more happiness in your life. And I think that's extremely important, because how many people have reached quite, you know, success in their own, you know, parameters. Maybe somebody went back to school, or they have more increased their income, or they have more properties, or their children are, whatever that may be, success. But it also, you become much more at ease with yourself, allowing you to be you and happier with your life, and therefore you're much more you have less anxieties and less I would say turmoil by letting go of the past challenges.
That's great. I love how you talk about, you know, it's so important that we blend our thoughts and actions with our heart.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Having that is just, yeah, with that whole thing. So, Amy, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, something that comes to mind for me, when you talk about the term sin, that used to be an archery term that meant it's the mark. And what I love about you, Anna, and how you approach life and people and your work, is that okay? You missed the mark. You didn't get a perfect bullseye, but now here's some steps you can take. We're going to love you anyway, right? We're going to support you anyway. And that's what I love about you and your work, that is very supportive, and knowing that, okay, sometimes you just got to keep trying and not giving up and staying in the game.
Exactly. And, you know, it's today there's very high expectations we have of ourselves and others as well. you have to shine in academics, you have to be the best in your athletics, you know, endeavor. And it's becoming such an overwhelming with society and with social media and with the technology. Everything becomes so, it's so expected of us. It's like we are entitled to, you know, to get the best, but some people having really hard time dealing with it. So that's why I mentioned earlier the anxiety. Doing research, 46 million Americans are, you know, basically dealing with anxiety, and only a fourth of them, not even a fourth, getting professional help. So there is a real issue, kind of like a hidden issue, and that's what the DOXA method is actually kind of bringing you out of it. It's helping you in a very healthy way, not to be so anxious, but really, really flow with your activities and not necessarily always being the best at everything or perfect at everything. Just be, you know, be good, and like they say, perfect is the enemy of good. It's just be good and really be comfortable with who you are and how you are, and not try to race and compete with everybody else, you know, whatever that may be, at work or at school or at home.
Because that competition never ends. It just keeps ramping up and ramping up and ramping up.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I really love about the book is you keep coming back over certain chapters when you talk about, you know, is there a role for prayer and you know, how does prayer look like, even if you have a whole really great chapter on meditation. So I'd really love for you to just kind of talk about prayer in general. For, you know, how
yes, thank you very much for bringing that up. Well, I was, like I said, I grew up in a communist country. Prayer was my mom was praying, I saw her praying, but it wasn't really something that I was taught or I was inspired or I was kind of brought into. Actually, I wasn't. When we moved to the Middle East, actually we moved to Israel, that's when I worked in a it was like some type of a camp where little girls or boys actually from orphans and from poor homes and immigrants were, you know, that was their basically their stopover. We called it like the interim station. So that's where there was a very strict and disciplined life. But on Saturday we were praying a few hours, and I will never forget the first time I heard that those hymns and certain expressions and certain voices in the choir. They were like going up and down, and you felt the passion, and you felt that there was, you know, there was such an authenticity there, such a genuine emotion. And that's when I was exposed. And prayer is not easy, because I do feel that prayer is bringing you to a very humble place, and you're very vulnerable. And sometimes some people pray, but they're not really comfortable of expressing, just like with one person to another, this is what I would like to happen, or this is what I'm battling with. It's like they're having like almost this fence. But now, after so many years of I pray every day, I meditate every day, I become kind of connected in such a good fashion. I say, you know what? God, what do you think of this? And it's very interesting, because it's, again, it's leading me to make a choice, filtering that choice and making me more comfortable with certain stress situations. I proact with, you know, with the situation instead of reacting to it. So it's a flow of events that's, you know, that's been influential in my life as far as prayer is concerned.
I think you bring up a good point about how, you know, it comes from, and when we first start praying, like, you know, I've been praying probably for 40 years, that you start having this conversation. So it's not a matter of having it directed in one direction. You know, I've heard it called prayer and then contemplation. So it's this conversation that you're having with God. So it's really interesting that you bring that up, and, you know, it's this, you know, God being our friend. God being someone who can really be there for counsel
and I have to
really
tell
giving
you,
direction, and having the conversation where you can dance with the ideas of something instead of having it one-sided.
Exactly. And one thing I must say, regardless to what religion, regardless to what person, where it's coming from, or race or gender, regardless to all of that, prayer has a certain beauty to it. And I think this is the most important thing. When you see someone praying, and they might be on the floor with their knees, without, you know, totally barefoot, or you see somebody standing up, or you see somebody sitting in a pew, or regardless, it is such it's an awesome thing. And I've always welcomed them. Like I said, I've been to masses, churches. I've been traveled, you know, to various places in the world. I went into a church. I went into a synagogue. I went to a mosque. And when I walk out, there's this sense of, wow, you can kind of breathe again. And I think that's really huge. People need to validate and understand that doesn't really matter where the prayer comes from or where the prayer takes place. As long as it's a prayer.
Mhm. Yeah. And even pretty much being continual prayer, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me, it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be just in church, or it can and hopefully is to maybe kick off your staff meetings or before you make that sales call, you know, and prayer for me, not just I want to accomplish things, but I want to have a true connection in this next phone call, or have this, you know, radio show be something that each of us gets something from, everybody who's on it, everybody who's listening now and in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you talk about feel it and goal it. I love that.
Yes, and I'm also talking about feel time instead of feel time, F-E-E-L instead of F-I-L-L. And again, it's going back to our rushed, you know, fast lives. We feel time. I mean, everybody's so busy, which reminds me, I in the past, it was hard for me to take time off. I'm going to meditate. What do you mean? I'm too busy. I have so many things to do. You know, I mean, how can I take time off? And I believe it's in chapter 4 in the book. It talks about my meditation. So, yes, I tell people, feel time. When you sit at the table and you're having dinner or lunch or whatever the meal may be, put away your gadgets. Put away your phones, put away everything, your laptops or your iPads, and talk and converse and connect, because that is so, so important. I think our society has lost so much of that old-fashioned kind of a connection, and I think that's very essential in our lives. We want to express how we feel, and feeling time can really make feel time much more meaningful and much more successful.
Okay.
Do you
well,
do
what
anything
about goal it?
Feel it and goal it. You know what it is? It's. I'm a strong believer that it's very important to have that purpose and that goal, because again, that's part of bringing the future into your mind and into your thoughts. So yes, feel it and goal it. It's they kind of go hand in hand, and one supports the other. It's almost like, you know, they're like siblings. And one is partnering up the other, because again, if you feel it, you can goal it, and if you want to goal it, you must also feel it, not just do it superficially. It's got to have some meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just today talking with a friend about doing vision boards, and a good friend of mine, Mickey, one thing that he always said is it's great to have a vision board, but you also need to have an emotional vision along with your vision board. So that's exactly what you're saying. It's great to see it, but you also have to feel it.
Yes, exactly. And we also, within the DocSup, basically, method, you also kind of get empowered and you learn how to blend emotions with logic and common sense. It's not easy, because certain things will get us very emotional and very sensitive and very reaching very deep. And logic goes out the door. It's not even coming through the door or through the window, or common sense. And it's so important. That's why I said filtering, because then when you blend the two together, and sometimes you use, just like a recipe, sometimes you use a little more sugar, use a little more flour or eggs or whatever that ingredient may be for whatever you're preparing. Same thing with the choices. You have to be careful. Was it an emotional decision? Was it pure logical? They had no feelings. Because, again, feelings activate your emotions, but we have to also be careful not to just, you know, make decisions based on emotion. We have to also look at how is this going to look a year from now or 6 months from now, or how anybody gets impacted by it, or how is this really, what kind of shape, and how can we navigate that choice a year from now or 6 months from now or 2 years from now. So that's, you know, the consequences can be very, very, very powerful. I just heard from a young lady who worked with me for a while, and that somebody called them and said, your husband it's a terrible thing, he has a child with me, and what are you going to do about it? And she called me, she emailed me, and she called me, and she said, oh, my God, the first emotion was I just want to beat him up after 30 years of marriage. And I said, Rachel, wait, hold on. Why don't you just, let's marinate this for a while, and let's just see what we're going to, you know, do about it. I mean, it's very dramatic, it's very drastic, but still, the emotion right away turned her into anger, and obviously some of the choices would not be so healthy as considering her logic and common sense and see what is this leading to. And if in fact, mm-hmm. it's, even if it's true, we don't even know that.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
So, gosh, you're just like putting on there. So in chapter three, it's called The Last Nightmare, and you really get into talking about a list of questions to really help you go deeper. And I'd love for you to talk about that.
Well, yeah, I am bringing out several questions, and I want to make people feel actually more in the passion, spirit, purpose. I also have it in the end of the book, sample questions in different categories about food, about money, about relationships. I think, especially now, we are in 2018, time is really going by very quickly. I believe that sometimes we don't want to ask questions, and we don't want to really, we want to run away from something that's actually, it's a deep seed that's bothering us for quite some time. And I think by bringing certain questions into the book and exposing people, it's kind of inspiring and influencing people that, oh, yeah, I can ask questions. I'm not going to be uncomfortable with what's going to be the answer to that question. And I think we have a lifetime of questions, and at the end we walk away probably not knowing everything anyhow. But most importantly, it's important to ask questions. Somebody, you know, goes to the doctor, and the doctor says I'm diagnosing you with this or that. So if the person, okay, they walk away. It's not the same as somebody will ask, so how is this, what can I do to help this? Is there any remedy? Is there any cure? Is there any medicine? I mean, there's so many questions that can come in place. And I think by, like I said, being sheltered for so many years and not being able to ask questions or not even think about a question, now I ask so many questions and I want to get clarity about some things. I want to understand that it's for my own peace of mind. Because without questions, we basically exist. We don't really live.
Yeah, I think that's so wonderful. I mean, you know, we've talked about that on the show before about how questions can just be these windows that just open to mm-hmm. conversations, whether it's being with yourself or another person, into just topics and ideas that you never even thought of. So it's just really wonderful
right.
to just ask the question. I think that's something the universe is always wanting us to ask questions so we can just add that step forward momentum for getting motivated and then being inspired for different things. So how about you, Anne?
Well, and the questions are really important, and I think it's really, really important to have people that you can have safe space to have conversations with those questions and where
right.
you can really open yourself up. And that's what I love about the three of us and a lot of people that we have brought into our lives is that
right.
we can have those conversations and say some things and you go, you know what, 5 minutes ago I said this, I don't believe that any longer. Instead of somebody coming down on you, well, why have you changed your mind? It's like, because through this conversation, I've been able to see things differently. So I want to honor, you know, all of us who are willing to not only ask those questions, but to be open to creating a sacred space for people to really grow and expand from those dialogues, from the questions.
Exactly. And it's personal growth. I mean, how do we grow? And how are we not letting things go and really, really push, not necessarily push, but become inspired every day and passionate and really pursue certain things in our lives if we don't grow as people. And people say, okay, it's like academics, it's athletics, it is, it's behavior. And this is, I must express, that the Doxa method is influencing one's behavior. It's very crucial for somebody not to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have did. No, think before you say something. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, and filter that question, filter that response, that choice, because it will impact you for the rest of your life. and you're growing, and your behavior is everything. How many times you go to meet someone and they look absolutely gorgeous, flawless, and then when you're realizing their behavior or how they talk or how they communicate with you, it's kind of like, it's like a because again, that's what really gives you the mark in life, and how you behave and how you treat people and how you treat yourself.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, in chapter 5 in relationships, this is, I think, one of the best questions ever, says, do you have a close and loving relationship with your own self?
Right, right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, do you? Because, see, again, we it's not comfortable, and it's not supposed to be comfortable. That's the whole thing. It's when you, I say transport your fears, you bring them in, befriend them, hug them, you know, fear them. Wait a minute, what are my fears? Because you don't want to reject them or resent them or push them away. No, you want to bring them into, you're bridging them into your life. And that's what makes the Doxa method so, you know, influential, because it's, you're bringing it into your space. You're not running away from it. And it's very hard. It's not easy work at all. No. It took me many years.
And Anna, I'd love to have you, kind of as we're rounding here, we've got a few minutes left. The book is wonderful. How do you recommend people work through it?
I would say go slow. Go slow with the chapters. Feel what it says. See how it relates to you and relates to your life now, at this present time. And don't be hard on yourself. Don't be judging. Don't be blaming. Don't be angry. Just understand that each and every obstacle and each and every situation that you felt like perhaps it was a failing situation, no, you brought a seed of wisdom or learning from it. And take it into the, you know, into the present, cultivate it, grow yourself, and look forward to some wonderful things in life, because that's what it's all about. And it's not necessarily how old you are or what possessions you have. It's about that person, that essence, the you inside of you. And I think that's the, you know, the bone marrow. That makes the whole, everything so much more, not only beautiful, but much more, you know, meaningful and special in life.
And what I recommend, having Robin and I doing the book together, was really helpful. So I recommend finding somebody you trust to maybe meet with weekly, what chapter a week maybe. And you just say, what is that about for you, and how are you going to implement that?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Share it with someone and partner up with someone, because, again, we have different views. They might feel differently about certain things because we had different experiences and we had a different life. There's no two people with the same life. So, yeah, it's wonderful to share and hear comments and be open to questions and be very flexible and be very, humble about it. It's genuine. It's not telling you that this is right and this is wrong. It's just taking you to much more of a flowing, a life of liberty. And that's something that, to me, it's priceless.
It's so priceless. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left, so I want to make sure. So Anna has so many wonderful books. She has The Money Flow, How to Make Money, Your Friends and Ally Have a Great Life and Improve the World. She has The 360 Degrees of Success. And, again, she has the Passion, Spirit, and Purpose. So these are they all available with Amazon? Or?
Yes, they're all available on Amazon, and they're all kind of a little bit different. And it's funny, as I continue to write, and I started to write more about myself, about my life and my childhood, and also a little bit more inspirational, went a little bit deeper. And I think all books can be quite instrumental in your life. And even if you, I tell people, even if you pick up just one thing, especially from the Doxa method, would be probably that you will have less regrets. It's already a lot.
That's
a lot to say there's a lot to say about it. So even if it's only one thing, and if another thing you pick up from the money flow, how to really deal with difficult bosses or how to move from country to country, the 360 has a phenomenal time management system. So each in passion, spirit, purpose, obviously they're all so connected. Without passion and spirit, it's hard to have a purpose. So basically, they're all giving you some type of a benefit, some kind of a tool that you can tailor into your life and make a difference in your life. And those are my intentions, to have something that it ignited in you that really made you feel more comfortable with yourself.
Well, they definitely
a website that we should send them to?
Yeah, it's www.anna.weber.com. That's my website. And if anybody wants to email me, they can email me to anna@annaweberdoxa.com. And I'm glad for people to reach out and be there for them and basically answer questions. And if I cannot answer them, then I'll think about it for a while. But I'm there for anybody to reach out to me.
And that's the truth. Well,
thank you for that offer. Yeah, that's very wonderful. Well, and in all of these books are really wonderful, being able to transport your fears into success. So thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. So as always, we want to remind everybody that next show we'll be back with, we're working our way through Having the Love You Want with Harville Hendrix. We're working through that. So maybe come back on, Annie, and give us some pointers on that. That would be good.
Oh yeah, that would be great. That's quite an interesting topic.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting book. You know, it's been around for 30 years and it's still changing the world. So we're very glad about that. So anything else, Amy?
Just an honor to be with women that I adore who are doing great work on the planet. So thank you both for all you do.
Thank you very much. I'm very grateful, and I really appreciate all your efforts and your time and your energy and your passion.
The passion with purpose. Woo-hoo! There you go.
Passion with purpose.
So I want
to
thank all of our international audience, and we always really appreciate all your comments, suggestions. So please keep coming in, and thank you for joining us here at the Transformation Cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.